When Christ came and the Holy Spirit entered into me, he delivered me from drinking. What if I neglect that salvation he's given to me? And I start to take it for granted and begin to drink again. How will I escape? There will be a recompense. There'll be something to pay. Then, you know, what are you going to be lost? It's like, well, there's possibilities. Maybe I was only, my best hope would be that I was, let's say I thought I was delivered from something, and then I fell back into it. My best hope is to believe that I only believed I was delivered and God had not delivered me. Because if God had delivered me, I would truly be free from it. And so, my remedy is to continue to seek the promises of God. What is the salvation of God? Is the salvation of God my works? No, the salvation of God is his works in me. Making me righteous. Making me obedient. God wants me to be righteous and obedient, godly. He wants me to be holy and true. He wants me to be all these things. The way I avoid neglecting the salvation is to continue to believe in that. Never to yield to sin. Never to throw up the white flag and surrender. And that whatever happens, I'm steadfast in believing in his salvation, that he is saving me. And he is turning me from those things. And that he will work the works in me that I should be never in them again. And I must believe this. Or I will be punished for what I do. If I don't continue in the faith. If I don't continue in the faith, then it is manifest I'm not in the faith. Faith is your most important weapon against everything that comes against you, even sin. Because if we sin a sin, if we give up and say, well, I'll always be like that, now you've neglected salvation. God's been bearing witness. He gave me the Holy Ghost. He did other things. His hand has been in things. Even if it is not miraculous, it could be with signs, a sign of his favor. Maybe just, I'll tell you, a sign can be very simple. You pray for a car, and then the next day someone shows up and says, hey, would you like a car? I got to get rid of this thing. It runs. Right? It may not be a miracle, but it could be a sign. Right? Take those things. Hold on to them. And remember them. And let them build you up in your faith, knowing that he was faithful in the least things will be faithful in the greatest things. And God is faithful in all things. So the apostles confirmed the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke things which were beyond the prophets. The Lord's words are greater than the words of the prophets, and the apostles' words are the consummation of the words of the Lord. I mean, because that's what the word confirmed means, to make stable. I mean, because Jesus came out and said things. He didn't live an entire life. He didn't write anything. That's another thing. Is everything, people say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but I don't know about the apostles. It's like, well, the apostles wrote what Jesus said. So you have to trust them. Or you might as well just become a Jesus seminar guy and just picking out what Jesus really said and disregarding the rest because you don't trust the apostles. I don't trust them. Verse 5. For to the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But it one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. Thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Psalm 8. For in that he hath put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I'm going to hold there because I really would end up going to... I should have stopped after verse 8. I don't want to go ahead too much. So I'm going to start back at verse 5 now again, and let's look at this in detail. He has not put the world to come subject to angels. And for the benefit of the students of my former teacher, I will say this, that, well, some people believe that angels, that human beings who live on the earth are the incarnate flesh, well, are the souls incarnate of angels which lived in the world that was, in the former age. Now, this is going to be just insensible to people who don't understand what I'm saying, but I have to put this in here because I know a lot of them come to my site. God has not put the world to come in subjugation to the angels, but he has put it in subjugation to us, to the redeemed, to his elect from among men. See, there is a distinction between man and the angels. The angels do not come down into the earth and become men. That's not how it works. Whoever tells you that is a liar. Angels are a different class of beings. They are not the pre-incarnate souls of men. Men come into being in their mother's womb. The angels are from heaven. There's no man hath ascended into heaven except he that came down from heaven. There's only one man that ever came down from heaven. He, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. No one else. So angels do not come down and become people and then go back and then rule the world. No, he has not put angels in charge of the world to come that we're talking about. He has put his Son. And I know I kind of threw us in already, and you're like, Paul, well, gee, it doesn't talk about us yet. Well, we are his fellow heirs. We are, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Now, that's another place. Well, actually, that's verse 11. Both he that is sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. And for he is not ashamed to call them brethren. We become his brothers. And we rule with him. And if you know anything about Christianity, you know that's true. So, it is also true that angels have no rule in that regard. Like Paul said in another place, don't you know that you will judge angels? So one, in a certain place, in Psalm 8, testifies saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? What is man?